live from in line at the mall where we are waiting to sit in Santa's lap, and brought to you by Joe's Crab Shack. Take your top off. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunt, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
This is episode number 56, and we are recording on December 8th, 2012. And Allie, why don't we still have theme music?
Allergies. Always happens when I travel.
I too am allergic to cats, Allie. I did not know if you knew that.
I do now.
Yes, yes. They're dander. Gets me in a dander. Dander. So before we start any sneezing fits, we have some emails, don't we?
We do.
Why don't you go first?
Sure. Our first email comes from Felden. Dear EQ2 Talk, first, I wanted to congratulate you two on getting Holly back on the show. You always ask some really great questions, and we get to hear her thoughts and vision as EQ2's producer, which is something that always comes through on the forums. It's clear that she has her own passion about the game and is open to ideas. So in the last episode, you guys talked quite a bit about Player Studio. I'm really excited about player-made content and understand that players have already submitted some amazing items, which are on par with or even better than in-game items. One thing you mentioned was the price and learning curve for getting into Player Studio. There's actually quite a bit of decent free software out there. GIMP and Paint.net are free and can be used to create textures of any kind. Anyone can try their hand at making cloaks if they have one of these programs or Photoshop and have some artistic talent. You just paint the cloak, then you do another painting overlay called a specular map, which makes parts of the cloak shiny, and finally a bump map, which you can use to make the cloak wrinkled, embossed, or have creases and look like parts are embroidered. If you look back at City of Heroes, Neverwinter Nights, and even back to Quake, there's a long history of players making their own zones, missions, armor, weapons, vehicles, etc. Players can be incredibly creative, and I'm glad to see this idea has finally broken through to MMOs. Now the question of players making armor. When you add up all the races, male and female, some of them with SOGA models, each piece of armor or mount must be designed and tested to fit 60 different models. That's a lot. I'm not saying we'll never see players make armor, but even the folks who design EQ2 armor every day miss a few things. Also, Death Dealer pointed out to me that if an EQ2 artist has to review all of those submissions and make sure they work with every race and variation, that could eat up a lot of time that they could be using to create cool things for the game. I think before SOE goes down the road of player-made armor, we'll need to get better tools for testing armor on every race, and maybe a group of players could be elected to check submitted items to see if they don't have any missing pieces or holes. As for EQ2U, Allie, I'm sorry we don't have a proper mobile app yet. Maybe after the first of the year. By the way, Dell, thanks for the season tickets. Just kidding. There's a lot we still want to add to EQ2U before we get around to a mobile version. EQ2U looks good on a tablet, but on a phone, we really need to distill the amount of info down to just what you need on in your pocket. We want to do mobile right. Thanks for the support over the last few podcasts. Working on EQ2U is a lot of fun for Death Dealer and I. Finally, I hope it's not too soon for New Year's resolutions, because I have one for you too. Create an alt character. All the best, Morgan Felden, EQ2 Wire, and EQ2U Chief Monkey. So, Del, a lot of stuff here to talk about. Any thoughts?
Sure. Let's first start off with Player Studio that he talked about. And I know I kind of was a little, I don't want to say negative about Player Studio. I'm very excited for it. I do still believe that there is a learning curve and that it is not for everybody, that you have to have the tools and the talent, and that will whittle down the pool pretty quickly. But I, too, am still very excited for it. As he said, I've heard that there is some stuff in the pipelines. I think Holly said that last time with us. So that's very exciting to hear, and I'm looking forward to seeing that stuff. Not sure if I'll spend station cash on it, because you know me and station cash, but I'm very excited to see that because I know folks will take advantage of it. And I think bringing players to the table to participate in the MMO, not only in playing it, but in some form of a creative design element of it as well, is very exciting. So I think so, but I still kind of do stand by my it's not for everybody position.
Yeah, I think the same way. I definitely agree. You do have to have some artistic talent, or at least an artistic eye, to know what works and doesn't work. But you know, more power to those who actually can do this type of stuff. I think it's really cool for players to be able to contribute and participate interactively in the game. And you know, Felden talks about Neverwinter Nights. I played that, and I remember after playing through the game, one of the cool things was being able to check out player mods. And I think it brings a whole nother level to the game if you can involve players and players can kind of see other players' contributions and creations. And if it starts out with in-game items, then cool, maybe that will open the door to dungeons in the future. And that's something I would really love to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe I'm a little spooked by it as well because of my lack of artistic talent. You know, I have none. So it's even more daunting to me. Now, maybe somebody who does have a graphics background and that sort of stuff and is familiar with these tools already, they certainly have it up over me in doing something. So maybe I'm a little scaredy cat of it because of that. But I still think, you know, you look at the game and you look at the artistic skills that probably go into it, and I'm amazed by it. You know, be it EQ2, which is a very realistic look to me, or, you know, Free Realms, which is a little bit more animated, a little bit more cartoony look to it. Again, still something beyond my capabilities.
So what about this whole idea of an alt, creating an alt for the new year?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really, really good idea, and that's certainly something I've tried in the past to do. Not so sure I've excelled at it. I always get distracted by my main Ell. You know, I spend so much time on Dell trying to make Dell all he can be for his $15.99 a month. You know, killing giants ad nauseum, satyrs or whatever, hunting every shiny, trying to earn every achievement. So I don't want to be, you know, the king of kings when it comes to characters. So if I'm out playing on an alt, while yes, it's a very great learning experience for me, I feel like I'm not doing Delmon his justice of getting him his 10,000th giant kill, for example, or that one more shiny that I need, or an achievement for making 10,000 pristine items. Well, that is a lot of pristine items. But, you know, so I struggle with that a little bit. I have been working a little bit secretly on the Evil Monk Alia. You know, I don't know if you know that or not. Yeah,
I was not aware you were secretly,
Working on the Evil Monk. Secretly working on it until I ran into the part where I need to go down to the bottom of Chardic because I was trying to get him, if you can believe it, his mythical Alley. That's how sad he is. Level 90, stuck at about 200 some odd AAs, and now he's deciding, hey, let's try to get his mythical. So that why I could have a vehicle to farm shinies for Delmon. Because I thought if I knew how to play the better, I could run through dungeons and feign death and try to grab those shinies that I still need.
See, I don't know if I would characterize that as an alt per se.
Yeah, I know.
It's more of a glorified mule.
Yeah, although I have to know how to feign death and be a decent leather tank to sort of do those sort of things. So maybe I'm learning it along the way. I certainly can agree with your assessment there to say, is that really an alt or is that a tool so you can promote Delmon even further?
Exactly.
What about you? Have you given any thought to an alt?
It's not as if I don't have alts, but again, I wouldn't call them alts per se because they trade skill primarily. And most of them were created, all of them were created for a particular reason in mind. Only maybe three of them were created for themselves to actually play them, maybe four. But, you know, I haven't found one that has really felt really great to me. The Shadow Knight is probably the closest one to feeling like I could really play it. But again, that's a crucial role in a group, and I just don't feel comfortable being the tank.
No, I absolutely know where you're coming from, because you're now that red class, and there's only one of you. And as we've talked in the past, everybody looks to the red class to say, well, you know where to go and what to do and how to pull. And, you know, you should be telling me the strat. I'm just a lonely yellow or blue in the background here. Right?
Forget about strat. I don't even know my buttons. Right. I mean, I know enough to get by on my own, but it's been a while since I've played her. It's just, you know, my tunes are primarily for trade skilling and other uses for Allie, basically. So, I don't know if I would call them alts, even though a lot of them are kind of high level adventure wise. I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if I think in that way. I don't know if I'm capable of putting on a different hat when I'm wearing a different tune to think differently. I play every tune like I play Allie, you know, which you can't do that with a healer.
Certainly not. You know, again, that's why I've shied away from using the Bruiser in a group scenario, because, again, all of a sudden, oh, my goodness, I'm that red class and I'm supposed to know how to tank and taunt and all those sort of things. Yeah. I do have the Troubadour, which is level 90. That would probably be the class that I would think I know second best.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I fear, and maybe you sound like you're having the same fears as well, is as these classes are advancing with levels, we now have more AAs, we have prestige trees, now we're into the level 95 range now. There are even more buttons for me to worry about than back when I was, say, 80 or 90. So many more active things I have to do, be aware of, and when is the right time to cast such and such temp buff or mm-hmm. reactive or something like that. I'm overwhelmed, and I almost have a little bit of deer in the headlight syndrome.
Yeah.
So that's why I tend to solo with them, so that one, again, as we've also joked in the past about, I'm not exposed as a fraud for not knowing what to do.
Right.
So, but when you play that tune all the way to end game that way, solo, you've kind of pigeonholed yourself a little bit. Why would I ever need to taunt solo? Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the right taunt to use is. I don't know which ones are my group ones. I don't know which ones come with damage. I don't know which one feigned that's the whole group type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So not having played it in a heroic or raid style, I don't know if I'm qualified or capable to do that. So while all things sounds exciting, it also sounds incredibly daunting at the same time to me. Leveling one solo to max level, max A's, max prestige, to me is not really having it all. Getting something so that you get veteran bonus for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm challenged. I don't know what to do.
Well, I think you can still play an alt, but not necessarily put yourself in those situations. I think it's a valid form of gameplay to solo or molo. I don't see any reason why not to, if that's what you're comfortable with. And if you maybe want to group with friends or, you know, people who won't point and laugh, that's something we could do. Or duo. We could duo and secretly and hide in our little closet with our lame alts.
So one advantage, I guess you're right, is when it comes to playing an alt, is you learn things you necessarily didn't know before. I do remember when I was leveling the Troubadour, and it was completely by accident that I hit a self-buff while running back. And that was the first time it dawned on me that other classes could buff on the run as the Templar. I had never been able to do that, and I almost thought it was something that was wrong. So there is something to playing an alt and learning about other classes a little bit more. So I think that is a noble cause and maybe something we should pursue, at least in that respect.
I'm up for the task, if you are.
Maybe we need to reinvent our Show Us Your Noobs where we did that sort of stuff again.
Yeah, with an alt.
Okay, all right.
We'll have to pick which ones go well together. Or maybe you could just pick which one you want to play on. I'll pick which one I think goes with that, and we'll just do it.
And we'll make it work.
Make it work. Just like Tim Gunn says.
So I think I have the next email.
Okay.
And it is from Monkey Boy. And Monkey Boy writes, "Hi, Allie and Dell. This has been bugging me not found an answer that I like to fix it. Sometimes when hitting keys on the keyboard, usually during a fight, I end up turning something on that slows my movement. Doesn't matter if I'm mounted, unmounted, walking. It appears I'm not sitting as I've typed slash stand to try to clear it, but to no good. Only way to fix it is to zone. Works every time. And sometimes, when you go to a Griffin transport, it will also clear it. Any idea of what I am hitting to enable my problem? Thanks. Signed, Monkey Boy. So, Allie, any thoughts on what's wrong with Monkey Boy?
Well, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, oh, maybe he's in walk mode, where it's, you know, you type shift R to walk or run. It's like a toggle. Then as I was thinking that, I'm reminded of when this happens to me, and it's I think it's what it is because he says it happens when he's fighting. So I noticed this maybe a year ago it started, where you start a fight, and then, like, for whatever reason, the mob leashes, or you outrun it, or you started a fight but you were too far away to really engage, and so you stop fighting. All of a sudden you're slowed for some reason, like it's like you're in walk mode or something, or all of your run buffs have turned off for some reason. It's like you're in combat mode run speed, but it doesn't turn back on. And if you kill something, it will fix it without zoning.
Okay.
But if, you know, if that's not the same problem, then try shift R. But I really think it is because I think something's going on with the coding where, you know, it turns off your run speed while in combat, or it turns it down to whatever your combat run speed is supposed to be. And then when you're out of the fight, it's supposed to toggle back. But there's something weird going on when you start and then stop a fight that doesn't naturally expire. Does that make sense?
It does a little bit. And when I first was reading his email, my first reaction was the shift R, because I do that a lot when I'm replying and I'm hitting R and then moving to shift to type the first letter of the sentence. And sometimes I have shift R and I end up doing that to switch my run speed as opposed to reply and then shift to capitalize the first letter of the sentence. So that's where I usually do it.
Yeah, I do that too. But I really think it's this combat issue, because that's happened to me on many occasions, and you just have to kill something quickly.
Okay.
Which usually isn't a problem for a ranger, but obviously you might have a bigger problem with that. So
I might, although certainly hopefully Monkey Boy, and I'm assuming he's a monk, might not have that trouble either.
So we have a third email here from Minster on the Antonia Bale server. And Minster writes, want to buy EQ2 time. Hello, Allie and Delmon. First time writer, long time listener. I want to thank you two for all the hard work. Your podcast makes my workday fly by and lets me enjoy a little EQ2 outside of the game. First thing I wanted to mention is on the discussion of selling loot rights. Let's say a certain player gets married, has children, completed their degree, and now started up a business, all since they first started playing. This type of player just does not have the time to play like they used to. Buying things in the auction channel is a way to get a few pieces of gear that could be a huge upgrade for a player with normal solo quest gear, or even fabled gear from the previous tier. This can make a big difference. This can be a way for a player to still get into groups and not die, because they have not had time to acquire upgrades. Not dying is fun, and fun equals good. Second, tips for pugging. Giggity, it only sounds dirty. This is for those naysayers who complain that servers are dead or no one wants to group anymore. Make sure to LFM, looking for more, in both your current level chat and level 1 chat. You never know who might need your group on an alt. You can look for all players that are in your level range. Then make a tell that says, hi, would you like to group at wherever? Copy, paste, repeat. Send it to everyone in your level range. Worst case scenario is they say no. Okay, so then you say, thank you and have a nice day. My experience is people respond better to personal invites rather than broad channel invites. Also, remember good players. any player that you are with in a good group, you should add them to your friends list. Then add into the notes by their name, their level, and such info. Finally, here's an idea. Higher learning. Make the arena into a sort of school for your class. For example, the fighter school scenario could involve something like you taunting something, and the end of school would involve you hitting a death prevent at the right time to stay alive and pass the test. I also have a Frostfell wish. Give Dungeon Finder the option for mentoring automatically, so groups are not just for their level range, and I could have some fun at lower levels. And to be fair for those role players, there should also be an option to not play with mentors. Sorry so long. Have a great next podcast. And P.S. Kaldane. Signed, Minster of the AB server. So, Del, Minster gives us a lot of stuff to think about. I know SLR is one of those things that you like to talk about. So let's start there.
Sure. And if I could first, let me say Kaldane as well. But absolutely, SLR, you know, he lists out a scenario and one that I can certainly appreciate. I guess that still doesn't change my opinion of the matter that I believe in order to receive the reward, you have to have taken the risk. And I know that's somewhat of a hardline approach, but I guess that's where I stand. I do believe in if you don't kill it, you shouldn't be able to loot it. You shouldn't get your quest update that way, and guilds and groups shouldn't be able to run dungeons over and over again because they can every 90 minutes and sell the really cool rare reward for tons of plat. We see that with mounts, and we see that during raids with items. I guess to those who are in those positions, I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel, and I don't think there's anything out there that could change my mind. I guess I'm just old school in that respect.
I can appreciate that. I guess I don't feel that strongly about it. I definitely feel I would rather have people buying loot in channel than have them playing at all. Because it is kind of a time sink. And, you know, it's kind of harder and harder to find time to play. I don't know. I guess I don't care that much, really. It's not affecting me necessarily. I think it's, for me, it's splitting hairs to talk about how it might be affecting my gameplay. I personally don't buy loot and probably wouldn't because I'd much rather try to get it myself. And if that means waiting a year or two, then that's what I end up doing. And I've actually gone back and gotten pieces I really wanted when I was, you know, overpowered, even though they're not really useful for me anymore. Just to have them. But I guess I don't feel that strongly about it, but I definitely can appreciate your feeling about it.
One additional thing about that is, and I think it goes hand in hand, is the proliferation of loot that we see today. I mean, if you think back to original content in, say, the DOF timeframes, you could kill an epic mob and there's only maybe one item in there or sometimes nothing in there. You weren't always guaranteed exquisite for every epic that you killed. And certainly every name didn't drop legendary. I think we've just had this mudflation in loot system, and that has led to SLR. Every time you kill something, you know what you're going to get, and at some point it becomes overkill. Every time we kill this mob, we're always getting this. If there was some amount of you getting nothing, I don't think we would see SLR as much because the people who were killing it would be keeping it more. You know, so I don't know. It is what it is today. It is the world of Norrath that we live in today. It's not going away as far as I can tell. I just don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change because I feel like to change that aspect, the loot drops themselves, it would kind of be like trying to close the barn door after the horses have already left.
Absolutely. Pandora's chest, exquisite yeah. chest, is already open.
Yes.
But he makes some really good tips and suggestions here for looking for group. I don't believe servers are dead either. I think you hear that a lot. And again, I think we've talked about why I don't like to pug. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of some of these mini raid encounters in these dungeons and being expected to be able to carry on at a raid level either gear and experience to, through some of them, so they tend to shy away. The ability to purchase the stuff, you can get quite a bit of decent gear through the solo quests. And the now there are even more advanced solo dungeons to do on your own. So I think that's distracting a lot of players from wanting to do heroic content. And that's made pugging and looking for group to be a challenge because people are busy doing other things, so they're not always out looking for group.
Yeah, and you really, I mean, he does give a lot of good advice. I think it's just, you know, for those who aren't used to pugging, they're probably not going to. But when I have stuck my neck out there in Level Channel, I have found a group. You know, I remember back in the Sky Shrine days when I was just trying to get some more faction, just to be able to continue on the path that I was on to raid. I just needed to fill in a couple of pieces. I had to go pug to get my faction. And so the times that I did do it, I didn't have a problem getting a group, and I don't exactly play a class that's needed. So, you know, I didn't really have a hard time. I think if you really want to, you can find a group. It's a lot of times timing, you know, like if you're looking at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're probably going to have a hard time. But sure, if you're at a good prime time for the majority of players, you'd probably be able to get a group.
Yeah, I think the hardest part is people overcoming their fear or their hesitation. Sometimes you just got to, you know, jump in the deep end and sink or swim. More often than not, you'll swim. Sometimes you will sink. But I think some people just need to get over, oh, I don't know, I don't want to be the fraud, or I don't want to be the one they cut from the group. And I've heard horror stories of being yelled at. While, yes, that might happen, I would say that that is the rare exception and not the norm. You just kind of have to unturtle yourself and come out of your shell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the greatest resistance to finding a group is, people unwilling to put themselves out there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So what do you think of his idea about making the arena into a school for your class?
You know, we hear this a lot, and it comes up every so often. I just have to wonder about how much either a person would earn and how much it would take to design something like that. Especially, again, you know, in a solo arena, it's not going to be real dungeon under fire experience. I think the best thing is to jump in the deep end and get in a group. That's how you'll learn to taunt when somebody says, hey, don't forget you got the T key that you really should press over there every so often when the mob's coming in, or hey, numbnuts, heal. Well, okay, so maybe now I'm exaggerating and being that worst guy, that worst groupmate that you don't want.
Okay, now they're not going to pug.
Right, although I did, truth be told, somebody in Battlegrounds the other day really called me out and then quit.
What did they call you?
Learn to heal, noob, and then they bailed.
Oh, that hurts.
It hurt for about 5 seconds, but then I'm like, screw him. He's gone. Listen, I don't know who he was. He wasn't on my server, I don't think. You know, I didn't lose any sleep over it. So, yeah, they're always going to be a jerky like that. But you know what? Nut up or shut up, right? Get some get some thick skin and power through it. I still went to bed that night and get up the next day, and my life went on, even though I got called out for being a suck healer. You know what? So be it. Happens every night in raid. So, you know, you just get used to it and maybe learn from it. You know,
you get
maybe
called a suck healer in raid every night?
Well, only on nights we raid, I guess, actually. So not every night, I'm sorry. But only on nights when we raid, sure. But, you know, hey, you know, you learn from your mistakes and you go forward. You know, look at every opportunity as a chance to learn something new. And if you do, hey, you're better next time for it. Yeah, so maybe you might fall into a few potholes. But getting back to his point here, I don't think a school, you know, a danger room is going to teach you under fire heroic or raid or X2 or X4 raid scenarios by yourself. The only way to really do it is, well, to do it.
I kind of thought it was a cute idea. I liked it.
I think it's a good idea. I don't see the amount of effort that going into designing something like that to really be practical in the long term when we kind of already have that tool today. It's called grouping.
Yeah, but I like it. And okay. I think you could reuse the arena art in some way, like in the newbie levels to incorporate some kind of combat training like we used to have. I know we have grouping and yada yada, but I think it might be kind of neat to be able to utilize that art that's already in game in the new levels, the young levels, you know, when you get a new spell maybe, or you get a new battery of combat arts to like direct you by quest or something like that into the arena or into some zone that takes you into the arena where you can practice your new stuff. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was neat. Anything that makes you learn your class, I think it's good.
I'll stand by my, you learn your class by playing it in a group scenario, in a multiplayer scenario, not soloing or moloing.
Okay. And also he gives us his Frostfall wish. I like the idea of Dungeon Finder mentoring. I'm not quite sure how that would play out exactly. Because if you don't want a mentor, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, make it an option or something like that.
Yeah, I think Dungeon Finder has a lot of strikes against it already. You know, we talked with Holly about it in the last episode. It'll be interesting to see in 2013 what becomes in Dungeon Finder. I'll say this, although as much as I hate to say it, I think at the end of 2013, Dungeon Finder will be exactly where it is here at the end of 2012.
Are you making a new prediction for the 2013 Fantasy Pick'ems?
I might be. I mean, that's a long way away. That's over a year away at this point. That's just my gut. Dungeon Finder is not on their priority list, and it is going to stay what it is forever. And, you know, if it's dying on the vine, it will be dead on the vine at some point if it's not there already. I just don't think the amount of effort that they would have to put into Dungeon Finder to somehow create Dungeon Finder 2.0 will bring people back to it. I think it's, as you said earlier, that horse has left the barn. It's over for it, I think, unfortunately. I think it really needed to be a system probably invented with the day one launch of the game. I think without something like that, that system, if it doesn't come in very quickly, it's too late. People have already invented other methodologies of grouping. And certainly the way that it went in, I don't know if you're ever going to win those people back. I just don't see it. So I think it's dead on the vine already, and I think it will be in the same condition a year from now.
Okay, so as far as Frostfall wishes, we're going to prompt about our Frostfall wishes in the next show.
Yes, yes.
And we will, I hope, look back at last year's and see if we got any of them.
Yeah, we can do a wrap up, and then we'll lay our finger aside of our nose and see what up our Frostfall wish goes.
Okay, don't know what that's from.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
I guess I don't know that one. I mean, I do. I just don't have it memorized.
So, Allie, Chains of Eternity came out a couple of weeks ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
And what's been your experiences so far with it? Have you been enjoying it?
Well, you know, I haven't really been able to do that much, but I have started on the quests, and I'm over now by the little squid guys, I guess you call them. I don't know what they're called, but I kind of enjoy the quests so far. I feel like they're interactive. I feel like maybe it's just because I'm taking my time. I don't know, and I'm reading all the quest texts. I feel like there are some new mechanics, just a couple little things that I haven't seen before or I don't remember seeing. And I kind of enjoy that. I do like that you interact with parts of the world and you have a lasting impact. I think that part is cool. You know, like I said, I haven't gotten through all of them, but I'm enjoying it so far. Now, I don't know if I will continue to enjoy it. We'll see.
Sure. And let's say, too, you know, as it's been a little while, I don't think there are any too many spoilers here that we might reveal. You know, it sounds like you're about just under halfway through the quest line. So there'll be another whole zone of what you've been doing so far, more of it. It is definitely a very long, long quest line and lots of NPC chat to read. When I was doing it, I didn't feel heroic doing it. You know, I felt like I was these NPCs' errand boys again. And so I think that took away a little bit of the enjoyment and certainly added a certain amount of drudgery to it. You are led by the hand from one quest hub to the next quest hub, which I do like, because it tells you where to go and it directs you through the story. But it got to be very, very arduous and very long because there were so many. I was almost at one point trying not to spoil it for myself, not trying to look ahead, but going, where the heck is Harrow's End? I know that's the end. I can't wait till I get there. Somebody, please send me to the last quest hub so I can be done with this. So I felt as I went, it kept going and it kept going. I was losing steam and momentum as I was going through it. Very excited about it in the beginning, but by the time I got out of Eidolon Jungle and into Obol Plains there, I was tired. I was tired, and I still had another whole overland zone to go. It'll be interesting to hear your experience when you get to the end, if you still have the same momentum that you have now.
I think maybe the difference is you're done with the whole thing and you kind of finished everything within a not too long period of time, right? And I'm kind of doing it here and there and doing other things as well. I'm not just focusing on the one thing. So maybe just having it kind of broken up into spurts is a little bit less of drudgery for me. But I don't feel like I'm an errand girl to anybody, because I think primarily because I feel like they've told me they can't help. They can't help themselves. So they need me to help them for various and sundry reasons. So say there's a girl tied to the railroad tracks and she can't move. Are you her errand boy if you go fetch some scissors?
No, maybe not, because then I felt like I saved a damsel in distress. But if she asks me to go first mine some rocks so I can smelt scissors and then, by the way, test my scissors out on 10 rats. Maybe. And
okay, so, yeah, that's a good point.
So I do feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, one thing too, along the way, what I did like about it, though, is the quest line introduces you in a methodical order to each of the instances.
I haven't even gotten that far yet.
You're getting close, but I like that. As opposed to you just do a series of kill 10 rats quests, and then at the end, oh, by the way, then there's also these dungeons for you to go into. The storyline will send you into them, and I like that. It sends you into the solo ones, although I do believe you can get your updates from the heroic. I don't know of anybody who did that. I think everybody's doing it through the solo ones. So I like that. But unlike DOV, we were required during that signature line to go into each of the dungeons and do them. You know, we had to do Forgotten Pools. We had to do all the Kale instances in a heroic version. We don't do that here in Chains of Eternity. And I think I was a little disappointed in that. I would have liked to have been forced through the heroics as well for updates.
So you think the signature line isn't very signature-esque?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's very it's a solo signature line. Mm-hmm. It's all solo. I think I liked a little bit more the DOV style, where it involved doing public quests and doing the dungeons and doing some of the contested area as well, both in dungeon and overland. That I think I enjoyed a little bit more than what we have here, where it's Alpha to Zed is all solo and you don't need anybody in between.
And then you're done.
And then you're done.
There's nothing to carry you through. There's nothing to continuous gameplay. You're done and signature's done and you have the reward and here we are.
Yay, you've saved Drinel. Yay, it's over. You're right. Now you go back and run all those things over and over again for additional loot and drops and that sort of stuff. But you're right. Maybe it did. It kind of felt like there was an end at the last quest. When you get your cloak, it's over. Mm-hmm. Game over, man.
So are there, not to sound stupid, but are there any heritage quests? Or are we done seeing we've seen the last of heritage?
There are no heritage quests to my knowledge, and I'm okay with that. I think heritage quests were a bridge between EQ1 and EQ2, and they should have come to an end at one point, especially seeing we're in a spot in EQ2 that didn't exist that I'm aware of in EQ1.
I feel like the signatures kind of were meant to take, in terms of the mechanics of what the quest did, I feel like the signatures were kind of meant to take the place of the heritages a little bit to sort of, as far as how it works with the player and the player interacting with the game. It carries you a longer way. It takes you longer to complete. It has more longevity, more playability, I guess.
Right.
It, you know, there's more steps to it.
Yeah.
But if the signature is done in 2 weeks, then
Yeah, the story is over, effectively, as far as I can tell, for me at least. Heritages, to me, bridged 1 to 2 and were reminiscent of things, items from 1. It got them into a horrible pitfall. I got this thing, you know, from EQ1 in EQ2, but it's Shadow Knight only. Well, yeah, because it was Shadow Knight only in EQ1. It can't be reminiscent and also usable by every class. You know, so I think it's okay to break that tie about heritages. I'm glad with that. I've been saying that for many expansions. Stop with them. Focus on signature storylines, overall arcing storylines and rewards for our game. Let's leave EQ1 in the past.
Speaking of storylines, I noticed some things in the quests that I've done so far. Now, I could be just reading into things, but some of the story elements kind of remind me a little bit of sci-fi. And I have some examples. Maybe I'm just reading into things. You tell me. So one of the quests kind of talks about you opening a ripple between the Aethernir and the Void, which reminds me a little bit of Stargate. Did you ever see that movie?
I never saw that movie, no.
But you know the idea? There's like portal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right a little bit. I think there is some of that storyline. And although I've always said I'm a little nervous, let's not get too far away from dragons and orcs and goblins and all that and into the space sci-fi stuff. So we're kind of on the edge as far as I'm concerned there. Let's not go too much further into Aethernir and more of, not Void. Please, no more Void.
Well, another quest there's like this researcher guy on the beach. I don't know if you remember him. And he had you trapping elemental creatures.
Okay.
Using a trap, and you kind of like have to get the creature to come over the trap, and you suck its, you know, spirit or something into the trap.
I do remember that. I had a very hard time with that quest.
That totally reminded me of Ghostbusters.
You're right. It kind of did. Yeah. Yeah.
Very absolutely. Weird. Don't cross
the streams, Ray.
Well, yeah. And then the Horde, based on what they're telling me, they have a shared consciousness, apparently. That sounds exactly like the Borg to me.
So do you think you're trying to be assimilated?
I don't know. Maybe. There's somebody over there that likes sci-fi.
Well, and bear in mind, Allie, resistance is futile.
Futile.
yeah, you know, you're right. But I think a lot of stuff we see in EQ2 is drawn from other genres. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that we've done a nice job, though, of masking a little bit. I mean,
yes.
There's no NPC, like I said, running around yelling, don't cross the streams, Ray.
Right, 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 right. I found that really interesting, and I'm kind of like going to keep a little list of all the different things I'm reminded of from sci-fi and what parts of the quest. Sure.
One other thing I was kind of noticing along the way is I had a particularly hard time with the solo instances. Now, I know you haven't really gotten to them yet in the quest line, but I had a real dog of a time with them as a Templar and as a well-geared Templar as I am, you know, with a lot of raid gear and all. I had a very hard time in some of these scripted encounters where I don't do enough DPS. And when I ask folks for help, oh yeah, you just burn it. I'm like, burn it, good lord. You know, I'm jousting, hopping around, doing this, standing behind blocks and all that. I thought it's very interesting from what I've seen thus far. And, you know, mostly it's anecdotal through chat channels and forums and whatnot about how certain people are dealing with the solo instances versus other people, especially when it comes to classes. Because I'm a low DPS class, I have to follow the script a lot of the times, whereas other people are just pew, 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 and they kill it before the big explosion or the fatal condition even has a chance to trigger.
Well, I have heard that from certain people. I've gotten a couple of tells from other rangers asking what merc I use for the solo instances, and I'm like, sorry, I can't help you. I haven't done any of them yet. And you'll be happy to know one of them got back to me and told me, I found the magic bullet merc to use, and it's a Templar.
Oh, yay, Templars.
Okay, so, okay.
Well, I'm yaying for the Templar, but booing because he took a merc, and why not find a real Templar?
Well, it was a solo instance.
But the thing is, and I wonder about that too, are these solo instances, and they're really called advanced solo in-game is their description. Mm-hmm. You know, are they being designed around the thought of, well, everybody molos, it's not solo. Maybe. So the level of difficulty is set at molo is the entrance level to do.
Maybe. I don't know. I really hope that they don't nerf the instances before I get to them, because I want to know how hard they really are now, as opposed to after a nerf, and then really be able to give you an answer as to what my experience is as compared to yours. And if it really is a class issue or what.
You can say it, or skill, which is
maybe no, no. I don't mean that. I do think there is a difference. The thing is, I mean, you don't DPS, so it takes you longer, but you can heal yourself.
Correct.
Whereas I have to DPS or I'm going to die. I can't do anything to save myself. Now, is that unfair? I don't know. It depends on whether you like to save time or not die.
Absolutely. The problem is, it's when it comes to that fatal condition that none of us can beat, you know, 100,000 DPS AE or something, right? Nobody is going to be able to, well, maybe a guardian can block enough of them. Mm-hmm. But the challenge that you face, you know, I have the slow but steady tortoise approach to winning, and you have the, you know, the hare approach, burn it before any of these dots or I need healing. I need to out DPS before I need healing. Whereas I'll just heal through it. Right. But it'll take me many, many iterations of that script to do it in. Right. Mm-hmm. Or whatever that mob's event is or buff packages. I have to be able to work through those.
You're saying because it takes you longer, you encounter parts of the script that you have to do the strats for, whereas I can just power through it, presumably, and not have to worry about the script because I don't ever get to that part of the script.
Right, right. For, you know, something very simple. Let's just say at 60 seconds, the mob does an AE that you have to joust. You may not ever even know that because he might be dead in 45 seconds. I, on the other hand, might know that it's every 60 seconds because I got to get through three of them.
We did encounter that in the advanced solo Sky Shrine. What's the last one there?
Tigaloth or whatever his name is there.
Whatever the zone is. It's I forget the name of the zone. But anyway, where, you know, something happened and I was like, whoa, what was that? And he said, oh, yeah, that's the whatever.
That's the knockback. And by the way, he has like, a power grid in a few moments and he's going to summon ads. Absolutely.
Really?
I know all that.
I had never seen ads. I'd never seen any of these things because the things were being one-shotted.
Right.
So right. I had no idea.
Right. So, I think that's a very interesting class discussion for these solo instances. One, I do fear that they are being designed as the entry level as Molo, and I think that's disappointing if that's true. I hope that's not the case. But it's definitely also an issue of class balance between them. How do you make them challenging enough that some low DPS classes – have a harder time versus, you know, you with minimal survivability but high DPS, where it's a race to get to it.
You had talked about having a hard time with the instances. I haven't really encountered anything yet that I've had a hard time with, except for I wouldn't classify it as having a hard time necessarily. But I have noticed some of the mobs seem to be a bit off or unbalanced or overpowered or something. Not that I've died to anything necessarily, but there are soul lights. There's regular soul lights, and then there's other types of soul lights, like wrecked soul light and fearstruck soul light in various parts of the Eidolon jungle. And some of them seem to have more buffs or debuffs or something because they take a lot longer to kill. It's like 10 times the buff package or something. I noticed one of them was a down arrow, and I'm sitting there like, well, this should be dead in one or two shots, and it's still sitting there attacking me, and I'm throwing everything at it, and it's not going down. I mean, it's not that it's parrying or resisting. I think it's either got more hit points or it's got more debuffs or something. I'll have to sort of dissect the parse to see what's going on there, but I just found that very strange. So I think there might be a couple of wonky mobs out there.
Yeah, I've certainly seen that as well myself. Some were harder to kill than others. Granted, they're all hard, but some did seem to be a little harder than others for me to kill. I think, like you say, they might have a few too many hit points on them.
Yeah.
One other thing that I did notice recently, we saw it in the patch notes, was, man, did they retreat quickly on the entrance requirements for the instances?
Oh, yeah.
And the alts, being able to buy an heirloom token for your alts so that they have access to Harrow's End. That surprised me. It didn't take them long to cave in on that. Now, maybe it was part of their master plan. I don't know. But here we are a few weeks in, and they are already retreating on all the requirements that they put into the game.
Well, maybe it's because player feedback was so overwhelming. If everybody hates it, why would you continue forcing them to do it?
Absolutely. So I commend the change. Absolutely commend the change. I guess maybe I'm looking at it from the other side saying, well, shouldn't you have been able to anticipate that? Why did that even become an issue? Because the backlash, as you say, and rightfully so, was so prevalent. There was so much of it. It didn't take long for them to retreat. So they must have thought this. They must have known this was coming.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
And if they did, why didn't they address it before they launched it? That's all, I guess. So yeah. While I think it's a good change, surprised that they did it so quickly, to me that means they were anticipating this. And then if that was the case, then why did they do it?
I don't know. I think they probably found out really quickly that people were not happy. I think that happens all the time with an expansion. People are not happy with something. Mm-hmm. And this one, though, was kind of big because so many people have alts at this point. And to go through, to be forced through the quest series, which in the past, you know, your gameplay style was your choice. You didn't have to do anything you didn't want to. People don't enjoy questing. To force people down the quest path in order to group in an instance is new. That's new. Basically.
Well, no, we did have that in DOV, and the same thing was prevalent in Chains here. As long as one person, they could zone you in. As long as one person had completed it,
yeah,
they could zone you in. What people want it for is they don't want to be beholden to somebody zoning them in when they want to buy loot. That's why I think alts want it. Okay. Not so that they can be zoned in, it's so that they can zone themselves in to purchase loot. That's my take.
Interesting. Well, that's kind of icky. I don't like that.
Well, so, again, I commend the change. I'm just surprised that they had to do it. I would have thought they should never have had that if they were going to retreat on it so easily and so quickly.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't care for having to have access to something if the gameplay styles are different. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're requiring, that's like kind of, well, maybe it's not the same, but, you know, you wouldn't force somebody to be max level trade skiller in order to raid.
No.
I mean, that's not, like, obviously way too extremes, but, you know.
But if you remember, if you go old school, very old school,
yes.
Right? Back to Zek and Frostfell.
Yeah.
Lava Storm and Everfrost.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't even zone in. Couldn't even zone in. Didn't matter if somebody was on the other side and you were grouped with them or not. You but could not different. Get through that barrier. Now we have as long as there's one person, they can pull everybody in. The problem is when you want to buy loot, you don't want to be having people have to pull you and you want to be able to buy it and get out of town.
But this goes to your argument from before. I mean, you have the ability to buy loot from the auction channel on an alt. Mm-hmm. Why put things in the way then to force people?
I agree. And so that's why I'm saying I don't think it should have been there to begin with.
Okay.
And so I support the change. I'm just surprised that they, one, had to make the change because they should have had anticipated this backlash about it, so they should have never done it to begin with.
I don't know that I would agree with that. I don't think they could have necessarily known that unless it was played by real players.
Okay. All right.
Who, you know, min-max and do all this crazy stuff. So anyway, right. Moving on.
Let me ask you about the art that we've seen.
The art.
Eidolon Jungle is
zone art.
Is Farrakh 2.0.
Yeah, and you know what? I keep forgetting that because I get lost all the time. I get lost all the time anyway, but I mean, I know it's Farrakh, and yet it's not Farrakh.
I think they did an awesome job of masking that it's Virat.
Yes, I agree. Hence, I get lost. And doors aren't in the same places. And, you know, walkways are different. And there are mountains where there are no mountains. And there's this whole other upper level that you have to fly to, apparently.
Mm.
I get lost.
Well, I got lost in Virat too. So I don't know if we can necessarily use that as a measuring stick. But I think, you know, you look at that zone and I'm wandering around and I don't see Virat here. I don't.
Yeah.
I do see Loping Plains a little bit more in Obal there. I do see it more there.
I haven't been there yet.
Yeah. I think maybe it's the trees, the different trees in Virat hide it a little bit better. I don't know what it is, but I'm not disappointed. I guess I was when I first said, they're reusing zone art. Oh.
No, they told you what it was.
I know, but I'm like, oh, they're reusing art? Well, what?
No, they tell you. It's part of the whole storyline. It makes sense.
No, I'm talking from a mechanics point of view.
I know, but...
And I thought, oh, what a cheap way to do it. What a cheap out. But then when I get in there, I'm like, nah, I'm completely okay with this because this doesn't look like the other thing.
Yeah, and I forget that it's the Virat.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like I'm playing Virat 2.0 or Loping Plains 2. Well, maybe a little bit more so in Loping Plains than in the other one. But yeah, I think they've done a really good job of masking it.
Well, I haven't seen the other zone yet, so I'll let you know when I get there.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I found an annoying thing. I hate to keep bringing it back to annoying things, but and it's a small annoyance. You know, you're doing all these quests, and you're out there, and you're killing stuff, and you're getting shinies, and, you know, you're carrying around bags of, you know, meat and stuff that you harvest, or meat you get off tentacles and things from mobs. Your inventory kind of fills up a little bit. So why are the quests filling your inventory even more with stuff? I find that annoying. I mean, I'm getting rewards already, but when I'm doing the quests, if I have to collect 4 acid-filled sacks, can they please not take up 4 spots in my inventory? That's irritating. I know they're only temporarily there. You know, you combine them at some point, you know, to continue the quest, and then they disappear. But I mean, I find myself deleting harvestables in order to progress a quest that should only take a few more minutes. I don't want to have to call all the way back to the guild hall, dump my stuff, and then go back to finish this, you know, few minute long quest.
Absolutely, Ali. I agree. There's nothing worse than having sacks filling up your bags.
Right. Especially acid-filled ones.
Right. And you know, it's funny, again, going back to old school, I always remember one of the defining differences between EQ2 and WoW was we didn't have items filling up our bags like we did in EverQuest 1. They seemed to kind of move away from that. And WoW had that thing. They had items that filled your bags. But we've seen at times it seems to come and go. Like you say, that sometimes it comes back. You really think they should be making a concerted effort not to fill our bags with quest junk.
And it should be consistent. I mean, it's very obvious that the Joe designer on this quest is not the same as Jane designer on the other one because they're acting differently.
Yes.
You know, one quest gives you nothing or you get a clicky or whatever. Another one fills up your bags with 7 or 8 items in your inventory. That's a lot of spaces to be taken up for a quest. Especially when I'm getting all these house items as a reward.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I wish they would really resolve to not do that anymore.
Just say no to taking up inventory spaces.
Just say no to sacks in my bags.
Yes, no more sacks.
Let me ask you, spell reducing. We got new spells with being level 95.
Yes.
You go into your research window, of course, as soon as you get your new spells to start that research time.
Yeah.
Do you notice a little new button there?
Yeah, we talked about this.
What do you think of the new button? Point of need button for buying spell reduction time with station cast.
Well, I used it. I'll just say it. I used it.
Allie has come out. She used it. All right.
I'm sorry. I used it. What happened was, I was collecting all my rares to make my expert spells in order to then, you know, research the masters. But, you know, and I had all those ready to go. I power leveled with, you were there, yes. Power level to 95 in a, you know, in Kale to get to be able to raid, because I had been sans raiding for almost a week or more than a week because I wasn't up level yet. And they were doing the 95 zones. And so I power leveled, and it was minutes before raid was supposed to start that we finally got me to 95. I had already made my spells in the expert variety, and or no, I hadn't. How did I do this? Anyway, I made my spells later. I crafted them all, and I was like so anxious to raid some more and be all that I could be. I just used it. I got my experts, and then I used the button. I had all the station cash laying around collecting dust. I figured it's not going to hurt anybody. So I used the button for my masters. So I've been fully mastered for a long time.
Although you sound like you feel a little
guilty.
Totally. I was going to go with dirty, ashamed.
Yeah, but I totally do, because I know it's the easy button and I know they put it there and I know it's just like, you know, the mini pocket flashlight at the checkout that mm-hmm. you don't really need. But when you see it, it seems convenient. I know that.
And
I know
that's why the button is there. Absolutely.
I know I'm being played. It's okay. I accept.
Okay. Fair enough. I certainly have not, as you can probably well imagine. I have resisted the desire to push that button, even if there is a little bit of desire to push it. but, I don't think that that particular point of need button is obtrusive. It's where it should be. It's relatively small. It doesn't blink.
It doesn't blink.
Every time
bright orange and it points.
It is orange and it points up. Every time you ding a new spell level or something, it doesn't pop up a window that says, hey, by the way, Del, you can purchase your next level spell for X amount of station cash. It doesn't do that. So I don't find a problem with it. It's there. It's nice to have for folks who do want to take advantage of it. But again, if you choose not to, you don't have to click on it. So right. I think it's okay. I think it's a good use of the point of need system that Smokejumper talked about at Fanfare. And I think it fits a very, very good spot in the game that players can take advantage of.
Okay. So I'm off the hook?
No, I didn't say I don't look down upon you at all. Well, okay. It's hard to look. Let's be honest. It's hard to look down upon you for this when I'm already looking down upon you for so much else, right?
Thanks, Del.
No problem. So you're off the hook. And you know what? If you want it, that's what it's there for. You having that does not affect my gameplay. Puts more money in SOE's pocket, and they're happy for that. So I guess it's a win-win-win all around.
Okay, good. So I've done you a favor.
Yes, yes. I feel better about it.
Okay, you owe me now.
I don't know what for. One other thing I did want to talk about in reference to chains is a new prestige ability we all received through the through trade skilling, and it is the ability to track harvestables.
Yes.
Did you pick that one, Allie?
I did.
Okay. I'll be honest to say that's the only one I've picked thus far. I don't know what to do about the rest of them, but I wanted that one. Because I heard something about it, Allie, and I think you know what that is.
I do.
It is the ability to track not only harvestables, but shinies as well.
Right, which you could do if you tinkered anyway with the Gnomish Divining Rod.
Yeah, but those are consumables, and they cost money, okay?
Right.
You got to make them.
Yeah, this merges both track harvestables and shinies. Or no, I'm sorry. This is the same thing.
This is
the same thing as the Tinker. But it's a prestige ability. And it's there all the time now, so everybody can get it.
Mm-hmm. And I spent all 5 points in it because I didn't like when I only spent 1 point. It's like a 60-second refresh. I didn't like that. So now I've got it down to whatever it is, like 10 seconds at 5 points. And I am using this thing all over the place. And I got to be honest, it's a little OP'd in my opinion. I think it's too much. Not that I say that I'm not using it, but if it went away, I wouldn't be upset. I'd be disappointed. So that's all. I think it's a little OP, but I'm certainly taking advantage of its OP-ness.
I don't think it's OP.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many damn collections in the game. Really, Who cares?
Tons of them. And it does help when they're stuck in a tree, you know, or behind a wall or something to help you find them. So at least you know that they're there.
But it is really irritating when they're stuck in a tree or they're inside of a tree. Mm-hmm. And like in, what's the name of the zone when you first come into the Sky Shrine? Not Sky Shrine, the Overland Zone.
Witherlands.
When you're in the Witherlands, there's one spot where there's this tree and the harvest tracker points me to the inside of the tree. And I'm looking all around for this shiny and it's nowhere. Well, when there's one of those, you have to pay attention because you don't want to keep tracking to the same damn one. And you're just running around this tree like an idiot.
That would make you look like an idiot, absolutely, running around the tree, incessantly looking for the shinies. So, you know, like I said, I'm certainly using it. If they nerfed it a bit, I wouldn't be upset. I'd be disappointed that I didn't get more use out of it. But as I said, I think it is a little overpowered because it kind of trivializes shiny hunting.
They're not going to nerf it.
I agree. But I'm just saying if.
So maybe down the road we can revisit Chains of Eternity and see if anything's changed of our opinions.
Yeah, certainly. I think it'll be interesting to hear a little bit of your experiences once you get into some of these advanced solo zones and get a little further down the quest line as well.
Yeah, I hope they don't nerf anything by the time I get there. So
let's talk about what we wish we knew when we were noobs.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a while, have we?
No, we haven't. And we have an email that we received, Allie, about what somebody else wished they knew when they were a noob.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect opportunity to come back to it.
So why don't you read that email for us?
This email comes from El Barto. Hey, Allie and Del. Here's something I learned recently that might be good for your What We Wish We Knew segment. You can change your in-game last name to be nothing at all, a.k.a. blank, a.k.a. not have a last name, by hitting the spacebar in the text field where you were asked to enter a last name. A confirmation box will pop up asking you if you're sure you want to remove your last name. Thanks for the great podcast. Can't wait to hear more of your impressions and experience so far in Chains of Eternity. Signed, El Barto.
That is a great tip from El Barto. I did not know that. I guess I never really thought about changing my last name to nothing at all. But that's a good tip.
I have. I've used that before.
Oh, okay. So what's something else that you wish you knew, Allie?
Well, it's not so much something I wish I knew. It's something I keep forgetting. And I forget things all the time. There's so many things in game now. And when you get older, you start forgetting them. One of those is consignment containers, you know, like scroll stands and potion cabinets and bag stands where you can sell your wares.
Yep, yep.
They hold more items than the salesman's crates, which are just the generic consignment containers, I guess.
Yeah, I did happen to know that. I don't know off the top of my head the exact numbers, but I do know the specialized ones are bigger than the generic ones.
A lot bigger. Like the highest level right now, Salesman's crate holds 76 items.
Okay.
But all the consignment containers, the specialized ones, hold 96 items.
Oh, okay.
Which is really good if you're, you know, mass producing, say, for example, strong boxes, you have somewhere to put them all.
Yeah. I certainly don't have one of the specialized ones as a weaponsmith. There's not a high demand for weapons. So I've never really needed one.
Well, maybe you need an alt to trade skill some arrows, or forget arrows, food and drink or something like that.
Ironically, I do have all those trade skill alts at max level.
Well, let me know if you need any specialized containers. I can make them for you.
Alrighty, will do.
So, Del, what did you have? What did you wish you knew?
What I wish I knew is somewhat embarrassing, Allie, because as you know, I have been frugal in my years in EverQuest 2, and just recently someone made me a Call of the Tinkerer.
Yes.
I guess I had assumed that Call of the Tinkerer was consumed when you use it, like it was a five-charge wand or something like that. And I was like, why do I need that? I don't want to use something that I'm going to have to make more of. Well, apparently it doesn't do that. It actually persists forever. So I want to thank this person for making me this item. And giving it to me and showing me that it isn't consumed, that is a permanent item that you can use forever and ever.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes, if you couldn't figure out, Allie was the one who made me one because she was sick of waiting for me to run without using speed totems as well, because those are consumable. And I have to thank somebody in-game as well who made me several stacks of the new top-level speed tokens, because they're not patient in waiting for me to run at dwarf speed to them through the dungeons.
Yes. That's the only reason people gift you things, is because we're sick of you.
And waiting for me.
And waiting for you.
It's I guess it does stink when your key class, your green class, is, you know, huffing and puffing down the hallway and everybody's already got the mob engaged. All right, I think it's an Are You Smarter Week episode.
It is. We missed one because we had a guest, but we are back with a vengeance.
Okay. So this is a little trivia game we're going to play. If this is the first time you're listening, Allie's got some questions that she's going to try to stump the Delmon and see if she is smarter than I.
Well, we have two categories.
Okay, what are the categories?
I bet this? You could...
Medicine for the Soul.
Yeah, that's one of the categories.
Very good.
The second category is Baubles, Bangles, and Beads.
I'm going to go with that one because it's full of the B words that I like. And we kind of have a running tradition here of not choosing medicine for the soul. So let's go with the three B's.
All righty. This was submitted by a listener.
Ooh, I like it already. Here we go. Are you smarter than a Delmon listener?
And this is actually from Ukubi.
Ukubi. All right. Head to head here. I'm putting on my thinking cap.
All right. Normal mode. Name the collections from the six major holidays.
How about I just name the holidays? Name the collections from them.
Challenge mode is you have to also name the reward.
Oh, forget about that. I don't even know if I could do regular mode here.
Was I supposed to ask you normal or challenge before you even...
It doesn't matter because I wouldn't get either. I'm not going to get either of these, to be honest. I know that there are collections that come with the holiday events.
So you're shooting for normal mode?
Yeah. I'm going to be shooting... there's one in I know there's one in Frostfell. There's one in Heroes Festival. There's one on Bristlebane Day. There's one for Brew Day.
But we know that there are collections. You don't need to tell us.
I don't know their name. I would have no clue what their names are.
Okay.
Mugs from around the world might be the Brew Day one. To be honest,
close. That's very close. It's close.
Mugs from around Norath? I don't know.
It's very close. You're even closer. Brews across Norath.
Okay.
You can have half a point for that.
Okay. Frostfell? They're made up of frozen toes. I know that.
Yes! Yes!
That's about it.
They're called frostbitten toes. I'll give you half a point for that.
Okay. Bristlebane Day is one like oddly shaped items or something.
Close.
Oddities or something.
Like possibly rare objects.
Okay, one's like a dwarf egg.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's three. There's one for Heroes Festival.
That's not one of the major holidays.
Oh, it's not. Oh, well, too bad.
Because that's actually in the bonus round.
Oh, okay. There's one for Tinkerfest, I think.
Yes.
Cogs, and more cogs. I don't know. and that's it. I can't think of any others.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to have to throw in the towel on this one.
Okay, well, you got a total of 1 point.
Yay, me.
You add up all the stuff. So let's go down the line here. Irelisi Day.
Okay.
The collection is called Romantic Flower Petals.
I don't even remember that one.
Well, the reward was a passion-veiled screen.
Okay.
You remember getting that?
Maybe.
Brew Day, Brews Across North, and the reward was the...
Holy Hat of Goodness.
Kaladin Stone Stout Cloak.
I guess not. Okay.
Bristlebane actually has two collections.
Oh.
And possibly rare objects, which gives you the Giggle Gibber Mini Comfort Crate.
Okay.
And Bristlebane's Memories, which rewarded the Golden Meat Bucket.
Yes, I do remember the meat bucket. Yes.
Tinkerfest is tinkered parts, not cogs, more cogs. And the reward is a tinkered inspiration.
Okay.
Knights of the Dead, which you forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Hollow Hedge collection.
Yes. We just did that one.
Do you remember the reward for that?
Is it a scarecrow or a bat?
It's a petrified bone divider.
Okay.
Frostfell is the frostbitten toes, as you know, and that's the glacial brazier reward.
Okay.
The bonus round.
Oh, bonus round.
you already guessed Heroes Festival.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what the collection name is?
Not a clue.
Samples of Destiny.
Okay.
Do you know what you got?
Not a clue.
A Tapestry of Lucklin.
All right.
So Ukubi is smarter than Adelmon.
Clearly, in this category, yes. Yes. I remember doing all these. I've obviously collected them all and got the rewards, but not a clue as to what their names were. I mean, I barely remember some of the items, some of the cooler items.
I bet if you had a bunch of alts, you would know.
I might. You're right. I might. I guess the thing is, you know, on some of these, Allie, they come up so quickly, you finish them in a day or two.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize what they are. I mean, some of the ones that take much longer to finish, like through heroic zones and whatnot, but when they're just in town or in one particular zone area, sometimes you can finish them in 20 or 30 minutes.
That's true, especially the Knights of the Dead. It goes pretty quick.
Yeah, so maybe they never really registered. They weren't on my radar long enough, and I just finished them and moved on.
Oh, well. At least, you know, Ukubi won something.
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
Bragging rights.
Fannies are something I'm well experienced in, so I'm apparently not well versed in them, though. So do we have anything else then for this, the 56th episode of EQ2 Talk, as I go down in a ball of shiny flames?
No, that's about it.
All right. So first, then, let's say thank you to everybody who took the time to download the podcast. We do sure hope that you enjoyed it. And also, Allie, let's give a big thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, Joe's Crab Shack, Allie, where you can get the Bean Town Bake, which includes two whole lobsters, a pound of clams, shrimp, and smoked sausage, Allie. And if I look carefully enough in here, it looks like there's an ear of corn in here as well.
That's an awful lot of food.
That it is. So check out www.joescrabshack.com and find a location near you where perhaps you can see Allie take her top off.
Nice. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so in a few ways. You can email us. I'm Allie at EQ2Talk.com.
And I'm Delmon at EQ2Talk.com.
You can reach us in-game, EQ2.unrest.alicious for me. That's AliSciOus.
And I'm EQ2.unrest.delmon, DELLMON.
You can also join our in-game chat channel at eq2.unrest.eq2talk.
You can also check us out over on Facebook, where we would love for you to like us at facebook.com/eq2talk.
Or follow us on Twitter at eq2talk.
Hope you'll all join us again for episode number 57. And say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.
Okay, don't panic. Remember what the instructor said.
If you ever get into trouble, all you need to do is...
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
Yeah, I mean, we look good.
Oh, well, hey, that's all that matters. Oh my God, this is so hard. I was looking for nail clippers really quick, but no, I can't find them. Are you laughing at me?
What? I'm reading the line.
No, that's not what we said.
Oh, what did we say?
Continuity problems. It's like on a first date. I'm nervous.
Not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No, it isn't. So a squirrel must have farted somewhere.
To winter, and then winter turns to spring. It's not just the season, you know, it goes for everything.
It's even true for voices when boys begin to grow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
When it's time to change, then it's
time to change.
Don't fight the tide, come along for the ride, don't you see? When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange who you are and what you're gonna be. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na.
by day, it's hard to see the changes you've been through.
A little bit of living, a little bit of growing, all adds up to you.
Every boy's a man inside,
a girl's a woman too. And if you want to reach your destiny, here's what you've got to do.